So we could say, really, we spoke about the moral glory. I want to just also make us understand the idea of the moral suffering before the physical suffering have taken place, whether it be from the hand of man or from the hand of God. The moral suffering is not, nobody laid his hand on him, but yet he suffered in his own thing. There was no one that drew crowd than my Lord. And there was no one who was more alone in the crowd than my Lord. You know, you are in a crowd, and yet you are alone. Imagine in the deepest time of his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. They fell asleep. Talking about having people with you, and they fell asleep. This is not even a suffering, it's a scene of glory. They fell asleep. Nobody got get it at all. In the scene of Gethsemane, again, in the scene of suffering, couldn't you wait with me 1 hour? He was looking for fellowship. This is really what exactly of left alone. He was looking for fellowship, and though he was surrounded with crowd, there was no such a thing, because no one could respond or understood his heart. We are tainted by sin. And I really think, again, I don't want it to be a theoretical explanation of the moral suffering or the moral glory of the Lord Jesus. But what is that to you and I now? We are almost toward the end of the Bible reading. How today I impact the feelings of the Lord Jesus by my lack of relationship with him, or my lack of fellowship with him, or my lack of obedience to him, or that kind. How much that hurt his feeling also. He's not an abstract somebody sitting up there that I need. When I need something, I just run to him. And then he, you know, he touched with the feeling of our infirmity. That's when you, have you ever had a friend that only called you when he needs something? And you know it? Man, you don't like these people. But it's the same thing we do with the Lord Jesus. No respect for his feeling at all. You only when you need something, then you run to him and you know how to pray. But otherwise, you just have your own world. So that is really the idea of him being in the crowd. Yet no one understood him or expressed fellowship with him.
You know, Reverend, the comments coming from the three last brothers know, to me, gives adequate confirmation of the fact that it seems we're all being invited at this time by the Spirit of God to pause and to be challenged with that expression, that question, is it nothing to you? Is it nothing to you? It's wonderful for us to go through all of these. And the greatest of minds, and minds collectively, cannot comprehend all that he endures. And saints of God, the challenge is, what glad returns can you and I impart for favors so divine? Oh, take me all and fill my heart and make me wholly thine. If we just go to just contemplating all this, and it has no impact on our lives, then I'd like to suggest the exercise would be totally meaningless. May God cause that these thoughts concerning him will have a profound impact, a lifelong impact on my life, your life, our lives.
Amen. Yeah, I just want to say that, yes, we're saying that he was lifted alone, but at a certain time, there's a company of evildoers that they like to surround him, as in Psalm 22, Bashan's bulls are bulls of Bashan, strong ones, and evil assembly of evildoers, that I just, he says about them, that I just imagine the Lord in the midst, and, or imagine myself in the midst, and all these dogs barking on me, and they want to, fierce dogs are attacking me, and that's what he had, that scenario, and then, but in his head, yes, he was obedient, as Brother Jake said, and, he willingly to do, love to do God's word and obedience to him. But he also had a view of you and me, because in the same psalm he says, in the midst of the assembly, I will declare your name. So he was surrounded by Bashan, strong ones, but in his view he knew that a coming day, though, by his work, he's going to have an assembly that will gather him, you and me, that we will praise his name, and we so he suffered all this for a fruit of his root that talked about, that there's a fruit, and we are the fruit, and we should be to the praise of his glory, as in Ephesians we say, we to live to the praise of his glory.
Yeah, there's another aspect of just, I don't know if it's the right time to bring it in, but it says in C, as an example for us. You know, it's something interesting in the Psalms, and maybe this will come out in its fullness for Israel in a day soon to come, the remnant of Israel. But it's a beautiful, in Psalm 22, there's a verse. After the sufferings, it says in verse 23, "Ye that fear Jehovah, praise Him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him and revere Him, all ye the seed of Israel." This is the Lord leading the praise. He's saying this. And then it says, "For He," that's Jehovah, "has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted." That's Him. "Neither has He hid His face from him, but when He cried unto Him, He heard." This, the sufferings of Christ in the sense of what He bore from the nature of man is going to be a source of strength for the people of God when they suffer. And also in Psalm 69, it says in verse 5, or verse 6, "Let," this is the Lord Jesus speaking in spirit, "let not them that wait on thee, Lord Jehovah of hosts, be ashamed through me. Let not those that seek thee be confounded through me, O God of Israel." Mm. This is very beautiful, that the Lord Himself is praying that other believers, those who believe in Jehovah, would not be stumbled with what I passed through. And you know, the Lord, when He was here, this was His prayer. That this remnant that believe on me wouldn't be stumbled when they see how I'm being rejected. It's an amazing thing that the Lord cared about them and their welfare in the path, that they wouldn't be stumbled in their faith. You know, the Lord said to Peter, "I pray for you, Peter, that your faith won't fail." And this is, I think, the attitude of the Lord for us. That when we pass through sufferings, He supports us now as the great high priest, that our faith won't fail. We won't be stumbled through sufferings. We can look to Him and we can see the perfect sufferer. We can see how He responded, how He depended upon God, how He was the perfect dependent sufferer. Yeah, so may the Lord help us. I think in Psalm 129 in the Songs of Degrees, as we see the people of God as they're returning to the Lord, it says in verse 1, "Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. Oh, let Israel say. Many time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows." We quote that about the Lord Jesus. This is saying, He's speaking to Israel, saying, "Let Israel say." In other words, what I've passed through, lay hold upon what I've passed through, because it's going to be your source of strength as you pass through. And we may be facing this. We live in our little comfortable North America, but we may be facing some of this. It may be coming soon. So we need to look to the Lord and depend upon the faithful sufferer.
John, also as looking at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, which leads into our third section here. "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow in His steps who did no sin. Neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that beareth judges righteously." John mentioned that Christ was a Son of Man after a new order. Well, the people of God are a people after new order as well. And the Lord Jesus is a perfect example for His people.